When it comes to free speech, the internet is kind of like the Wild West. In the early days of the internet, many people saw the online world as a free speech paradise, but there are growing concerns about the ways people are using the internet, including hate speech, harassment, illegal activity, and recruitment for extremist groups. Policing the internet is controversial, especially when governments try to dictate to private companies how to censor speech. On the flip side, allowing social media platforms to become safe havens for people to promote violent hate speech is becoming a concern for many media watchers. This leaves companies and governments in a tight spot, but our next guest says there are ways to thread that needle. David Kaye is a law professor and author of the new book, Speech Police: The Global Struggle to Govern the Internet. David, welcome to Central Time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, you start off talking about a fundamental change in the architecture of the internet, from a dispersed system to a lot more concentration in social media platforms. What has that meant for how speech happens and could be regulated?
Well, over the last decade and a half, we've seen a real concentration in media, particularly through social media, and that's had two impacts, really. One impact is that it's given these massive platforms, in particular YouTube and Facebook and Twitter, the responsibility to evaluate content, to evaluate speech on their platforms, and that's a very serious responsibility, and it's also caused, I think, to many minds, a lot of public harm. And the other part of it is that it has created a kind of one-stop shopping for governments that like to censor. So rather than back in the old days, you know, hunting through the blogosphere for content to restrict, Now governments, particularly authoritarian governments, can go directly to the companies and say, take down this content, take down this person, restrict the expression that you're allowing.
And that gets the central conflict in your book. How can a hopefully non-authoritarian government and social system deal with an internet where there are things that cause clear harm being posted, but some sort of free speech rights still should apply?
That's right. I mean, if we think back about back toward the time when, you know, the internet was just starting out, and even social media was just starting out, you know, it was an opportunity for the democratization of speech, for the ability for people who don't normally have an audience to gain an audience or to connect with others and so forth. And that's been, you know, tremendously advantageous to individuals around the world, particularly activists and organizers and others who are in dissent from governments. But at the same time, we've seen harms develop. And the real issue for democratic governments right now is how do they deal with those harms in a way that doesn't inadvertently give cover to authoritarian governments to do their own kinds of harms, to take action against individuals and the platforms in a way that really restricts expression. It's a tricky situation for many, and it's one of the great challenges for the online world today.
Before we get into how we navigate that, can you talk about some of the harms that we've seen from insufficiently regulated use of social media used as a weapon, I guess?
Sure. I mean, there are some very clear harms that I think anybody who's familiar with the news over the last several years would identify. You know, these are harms like the rise of the platform's use for hate speech, for incitement to violence in places as diverse as, well, the United States, Myanmar, Germany. We've seen the increasing abuse of the platforms for purposes of disinformation and election interference. I mean, these are very real harms. But one of the problems with viewing the internet only as a place of harm is that it is giving, you know, all sorts of reason to governments to restrict expression. And one thing I think we ought to be thinking about is not so much in terms of regulating the content of the platforms, but making them much more open and transparent to evaluation. Because one of the clear truths about the current environment is that the public and the government in particular knows very little about what's happening on the platforms, how the platforms are operating, how they're restricting expression, and how they're essentially trying to make their platforms safe for individuals and for the public.
One of the challenges seems to be, and you talk about this in your book, that it can be really hard to set a simple rule. One example, an easy rule might be to say, never show an image of a naked child. But you give an example of Kim Phuc Phan Thai, who was the young Vietnamese girl in that famous Napalm Girl picture from Vietnam. We have that picture up on our Facebook page now because I just talked to her on Friday. How hard is it to establish rules when there are notable exceptions?
Yeah, it's extremely hard. I mean, this is one of the key problems of actually regulating content today. So one of the issues is, where do we draw the rules and how do we draw the rules? You know, when the platforms were more competitive and they were smaller, I think that most people in the public, and this is true around the world, I think, would have been fine with saying, okay, you know, each platform can be different and they can draw the rules wherever they want. And if they don't want to allow the picture of, you know, so-called Napalm Girl on their site, that's fine. The problem is that the platforms have become such massive platforms for media and for many places around the world, such major sites for public information, that the old way of thinking about the platforms, you know, purely as private actors is really in a way outdated. And so the drawing of those lines has become less a question about where exactly to draw those lines and more about who should be drawing those lines. Should it be government or should it be the platforms? And that's a discussion that we in the United States have really hardly begun to address, while many people around the world are very deep into that particular debate.
David Kaye is with us. We're talking about his new book, Speech Police, The Global Struggle to Govern the Internet. David, what conversation should we be having in the United States about that question you just raised? Who should be setting these rules?
Well, I think the first question for Americans and really for the political class, let's say, is to move away from the kind of partisan way of thinking about the platforms and to think more broadly about how to really protect the original promise of the Internet and how to deal with the harms that are caused online today without undermining that original promise. I think we need to step back from the questions of, you know, are conservative voices sort of undermined while liberal voices are preferenced. That's actually very little of what's happening online. And I think it would be very important for us to have a coherent conversation in the United States, one about, you know, issues of whether the platforms are too big. And that's a conversation that has started. But the other question really has to be, what does it mean to regulate the platforms in this still new digital age? What does it mean to say that the companies have public impact? And what does that mean for the kind of regulatory approaches, particularly in a First Amendment friendly environment, that we should be addressing? And we're hardly having that conversation in this country right now.
You also write that you ought to see human rights at the center of the discussion of how our social media dominated internet works. What do you mean by that?
That's right. I think it's really important for us as Americans to really realize and to accept that the platforms are global. They're not just platforms for Americans to have conversations. When you think about Facebook, for example, 85%, at least 85% of its user base is outside the United States. And the way they think outside the United States, generally speaking, about free speech issues is not through the language of the First Amendment, but is through the language of human rights law. And there actually is human rights law on freedom of expression that is highly protective of freedom of expression. There's a real jurisprudence around free speech around the world. And my view is that in order for the platforms really to speak to that global audience and to speak even to governments that want to restrict expression, that the company should be speaking in the language of human rights rather than either the First Amendment, which, you know, they're all kind of marinated in that culture, in our culture, but also speak in the context of, you know, the harms that are caused and the way in which individual freedoms can be preserved.
Finally, I want to talk about the practical ways that whoever's in charge can police what's going on, whether it's a government or a community group or a platform. YouTube, you're right, gets hundreds of hours of uploads every minute with the sheer volume of things. Is it possible, is it feasible to really keep up with what's going on?
That's a great question. I mean, we are facing, and the platforms in particular are facing, a real tidal wave of information that's on their platforms, and it's extremely difficult for them to evaluate all of that content. You know, most of them are moving towards using artificial intelligence, you know, algorithmic decision making, in order to at least perform a kind of filtering of the information that they don't want to see on their platform. Oftentimes that goes to humans, human moderators, and there are tens of thousands in this new industry of content moderation, people around the world that are handling this. But at the end of the day, you know, the platforms will be the first responders, and governments still need to ensure that individuals within their jurisdictions are protected. And I think that first and foremost, that really does mean opening up the platforms to public oversight, to public information, to sharing information and research about what's happening on the platforms, so that governments can take really smart regulatory steps, not steps that interfere with the free speech rights of individuals, but really takes care to protect the public and protect individuals and their right to freedom of expression on the platforms.
David, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
David Kaye is a UC Irvine law professor and author of the book Speech Police: The Global Struggle to Govern the Internet.